Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Moonstruck.
I saw the second half of Moonstruck.
And this
is the other half. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the other half.
Look at you taking control like that.
Oh, you know it. I'm trying.
Trying to take control.
What are these days? I'll be the master.
You'll just watch the whole movie by yourself and talk about it. what a weird concept for a podcast.
Just watching half of a movie and then talking about it?
No. Just watching the entire movie because you control the whole podcast.
God, dude.
So you don't need anyone else.
That would be the most boring podcast. I hate podcasts that only have one like host.
I don't think I've ever seen one like that.
I've listened to a couple and they're just boring. Because I was like, I don't know, like you think
the
it would
only
work
one
if I,
the only
enough.
Thing that works is if it's like a news podcast.
Definitely.
And they're just reading the news.
Yeah,
it's like that's fine because it's only like 15 minutes long or whatever, and they're just going through bullet points. So
because no one's interesting enough to just sit there and talk for, you know, like unless it's like a stand up comedian maybe. But even then, yeah, because like I listen to Bill Burr's podcast. He's interesting enough.
Is he alone?
Yeah.
Weird.
I know. He's interesting enough. He's fine. But like,
he's,
you know,
fine.
even Maron, like he needs another guy to talk to.
Which he does.
That's his whole podcast is interviewing people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't imagine being the host of a podcast like that. Like you have to be real narcissistic to just like talk to yourself the
about
entire
yourself.
Time. About yourself
like
and
your
the
opinions.
Things that happened and then get no feedback on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
getting
like no back and forth.
Well,
but luckily we're not in that situation.
Luckily,
because it's me and you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and you to eternity.
So we watched Moonstruck.
We watched Moonstruck. My mom suggested watching this. This is one of her favorite movies.
Really?
Yeah. She really, really likes this movie.
Oh, man.
And my dad has seen it with her. I don't know if it's his favorite movie, too, but yeah.
He was just along for the ride.
He's just along for
no
the ride.
No opinion there.
No, I don't know the opinion, but I know my mom likes it. So
okay.
She she texted me and she's like, guys, got to see Moonstruck because I've never seen it.
Okay, yeah, I've never seen it either.
Yeah.
I've seen the art a lot. Like, I've seen the picture
with
for some
her,
reason.
Like...
Yeah, with her arms outstretched and the moon behind her. And
New York City.
And I'm like, wow, I have no idea what that movie's about.
Yep.
And you know what? I watched the movie. I still have no idea what it's about.
And you saw the first half, too.
I saw the first half. No,
yeah.
I haven't. I know what it's about, but it's not...
I don't know.
It's not a big plot.
No, it really... I gotta tell you, it doesn't end very interestingly either.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It's very contained.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. So it follows around this character named Loretta.
Yep.
Who is played by Cher.
Yes, she is.
And Loretta
How did
is
you like Cher in this
a,
movie?
Like in general?
Like,
I don't know.
As an actress.
I think her Italian accent, as she's from an Italian family, a huge Italian family.
Yes, this movie's very
Italian.
Italian
accent, I didn't pick up on until not halfway through, but like a couple scenes into the movie.
Because it was so natural or because she just wasn't
because
doing it?
Because it just wasn't doing it. I don't
oh,
think. Like
wow.
I just felt like it didn't feel... realistic.
Uh-huh.
It just felt like it was one of those.
It felt forced.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, I heard Italian somewhere, so I'm going to try to do it.
I watched Goodfellas.
Also, it makes no sense that she has an accent because her dad doesn't really have an accent.
Yeah, he does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Maybe I just,
well, no, he's
it's
more
very
like
light.
A very Jewy accent.
It's very light, though. Like, obviously, her grandpa has like a huge.
Her grandpa just speaks Italian,
yeah,
basically.
Like, he's got a heavy accent, but I feel like he's like his. Her dad is like first or second
her
generation.
Dad talks like this a lot.
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like that would not pass on to your child, though, unless they all came from Italy. I don't think they did, though. I don't know. They didn't
I feel like she's a second generation.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't have an accent.
No, that's
then.
What I'm saying, as I'm agreeing with you.
That's
I feel like
weird.
She's a second
unless
generation.
Unless maybe she's just...
She's surrounded, maybe, with all these Italians.
Well, yeah, maybe in that in New York. You
New
know?
York.
New York gives you an accent.
Yeah.
Sort of.
This
so.
Is a great... I love how this movie was shot around New York. Like
they really hammered it in, almost as much as The Room.
Yeah,
like,
they
there
really
was a
did.
Lot, but to be fair, they were like, look at the moon.
There is so much moon imagery and references throughout this entire film.
Do you know why that is?
Because the name of it's called Moonstruck.
That and there is a
Nick Cage
scene.
Is a werewolf.
Yeah, you're right, Nick Cage. All the times that the full moon's out, he's just mauling people.
He's just very hairy.
Just slightly. His toupee grows. It gets bigger.
His toupee.
Soon it becomes real hair.
That would be, dude.
No. Movie idea.
Okay.
His, instead of called wear hair. And his toupee takes off from every every full moon.
Yeah, yeah,
runs
yeah.
around and just suffocates people.
Yeah,
just climbs in their throat and then just suffocates them. And
because
then,
it's the hair from a werewolf.
Yeah,
yes.
Someone made it out of man. That's a great idea.
I think this is a great, and it's called wear hair.
Wear
because
hair.
He's bald. Wears
wear
his hair.
Perfect. Man, we're so good.
Man, I would watch movies that we're suggesting for this.
You would or wouldn't?
I think I would, probably, actually.
I would watch it for about 10 minutes and probably turn it off.
Yeah, probably.
Because I feel like the concept is not good enough to last an hour and a half. That's like an SNL skit at best.
That is literally a Robot Chicken skit, remember?
Is it?
Yeah. William Shatner has a toupee that goes around and like has a second life while he's gone, while he's asleep. Remember that? I mean, it's not exactly a wear hair situation, but it is like a
okay, so we did influence. All right, well, I'm
we're
sorry.
Influenced, but it's not a full-on ripoff. Right. I think our idea is better.
Probably.
Because, I mean, look at that title.
Wear hair.
Wear hair.
Anyway. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, so there's a lot of moons. Because apparently, I don't remember who said this, because, I mean, I watched this movie very strangely.
How?
So I was before we had to watch it. The actual time we had to watch it.
Mike. Yeah, we were going to watch it yesterday, and I didn't end up watching it yesterday. And I was really busy.
I was a little peeved, but I was okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
We hugged it out.
And now
we watched 50 Shades of Grey together. We were good.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
So basically, I watched the movie before I went to bed, about 20 minutes of it, and then I was like, wait a second, I don't have any time the next day, because I was working on some extra work I had to get done.
Yeah.
So I watched 10 minutes of it during my break, and then 20 minutes of it during my lunch break, and then the last, like, 5 minutes of it
at my place,
at your place,
waiting for him
to show up,
yeah,
and then realized that he hadn't seen it, so this is a little scatterbrained, so...
Okay, that's fine.
It was like watching an episodic... thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it was weird.
Like episode after episode.
After episode. It's a weird way. Don't watch movies like that. Don't do that. Just watch them all the way through. Don't even watch them in half.
Don't even watch them in half like we do.
Yeah,
like,
just watch them all the way through. Please do.
We are trained professionals.
Any more than that, you'll get crazy. You'll start going insane. Your hair will pop off and start murdering people. It'll be just wrong. Just watch out.
You'll turn into wear hair.
You'll be a wear hair. Be aware of wear hair.
Oh, snap. That's totally the tagline. Be aware, wear hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Man, we're doing it.
Back to what I was trying to say was that at some point someone says that women are very attracted to men or get pulled into men when there's a full moon or something like that. Like love happens when there's a full moon.
Okay.
And throughout this whole movie, Loretta is super, super superstitious.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is always just like, so the plot of the movie is she is basically going to get married. She's been widowed before. Her last husband got hit by a bus, I think.
Do we see it?
No.
Okay.
It's just mentioned in passing. Like, she's already, it's been, you know, a few years. But she finds this, she has this new guy, and he proposes. But he proposes very like, hey, what's up? You want to get married? And she's like, you got to get down on your knee because, you know, like, I've had bad luck. We had bad luck. My last husband, who had the bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, okay. But this suit's expensive. And she's like, just do it. Just do it.
Oh, my God.
So she does it. Or he does it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's just always talking about how she wants this marriage to be better because Ollie has bad luck. And she talks to her dad. She's like, hey, I'm getting married. She's like, to who? Oh, that guy. That guy sucks.
Yes.
You know, no one, I don't like him. It's like, well, but I like him a lot, so I'm going to get married to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you just are going to have bad luck again. All you do is bad luck. I'm like, wow, what a supportive family.
Yeah.
It was just weird. It was just weird how much she did not want, she wanted everything to be perfect, basically. She seems like a bridezilla, like her wedding's got to be the certain way.
Yeah.
Whenever it does happen. But then at one point, the husband, or the fiance now, leaves to visit his sick mother, mm-hmm. who's on her deathbed.
In Sicily.
So he flies all the way to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Sicily's in Italy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Geography. Anyway, last thing he says is, you need to contact my brother, my long lost brother. So then like 5 years of bad blood.
Why?
Because it's 5 years of bad blood and he's my brother. He's got to be at my wedding.
Okay.
So if he's not at my wedding, like that's messed up. He's my brother.
Right.
And she's like, all right, fine. She contacts him.
And who is it?
It is Danny DeVito.
Yo!
And he's getting Arnold Schwarzenegger pregnant.
He's like, you look like a whore, Loretta.
Loretta the whore. No, it is Nick Cage.
Of course.
Who is also a favorite in our other movies, The Rock.
Yep, The Rock, that's right.
We only watch movies with Danny DeVito and
Nick Cage.
And Nick Cage. That should be the new podcast. Call it...
Danny Cage.
Danny Cage or Cage DeVito.
Cage DeVito. Yeah, Cage DeVito.
There you go. Those are dumb names.
These are terrible names.
But yes, so they she finds him, mm-hmm. and she's like, come to the wedding. And he's like, no, I don't want to. I hate that guy. And she hangs up.
How
was
his accent, by the way?
I don't really remember his accent. I just thought it was... See, Nick Cage, he just does what he wants.
He does do what
he just
wants.
Does crazy.
Yep.
How he wants. He kind of has a Vampire's Kiss-esque.
Very much so.
Esque,
in this.
He's
very,
accent.
He's very breathy.
Very breathy, very heavy.
Very heavy.
So,
but with the Italian.
But yeah. But I love you, Loretta.
I love you. You're beautiful.
You're beautiful. Also, I'm crazy. I hate my brother.
Your
apparently,
hair.
My hand was cut off by because I was distracted by my brother. So then his hand got cut off because of that.
I was wondering why he's wearing a little glove the whole
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, his hand got cut off, apparently.
How?
His brother came in and ordered a sandwich. Was it a sandwich? I think it was a sandwich. He works at a bread making place, like a bakery.
Uh-huh.
And his brother walks in and is like, hey, make me a sandwich. And he's like, all right. And then he cuts his arm off, apparently, because he's distracted. And he blames it on his brother, which I think is the stupidest thing.
Why are you...
What?
In what sandwich, like, place are you using cutlery that is big and strong enough to cut through a wrist bone?
I don't remember. It was something in particular. I think it was using... Well, you know, the sandwich, you got to cut the sandwich. It's going to have some sharp meat. Stuff right there. Like,
well, I guess, but not enough to cut through bone, right?
It was some sort of grinder, if I remember right.
Oh, he stuck his hand in a grinder?
Something like that.
All right, that makes a little more sense.
Like, it makes sense. That's not something to get hung up
on.
Because
I'm imagining you, like, on, like at Subway.
Like, how crazy would that be?
I don't know. That would be insane.
That's not the sauce I want. Make my order better, please.
I'm sorry, I didn't want a hand on my... I said ham. Yeah, I was wondering why he's wearing a glove the whole movie.
Yeah, it was weird.
Because it never really comes into play later on at all.
Really?
Yes, at all.
It's just bad blood. I mean, that's a pretty... I guess that's a serious thing to...
I'd say lack of blood.
Oh, after he got his hand cut off, the woman he loved also left him.
Oh, okay.
And so he was like sad because she left for to another man who has a full hand. So he always blames the love of his life leaving him because of his brother.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So then he gets really upset when she's like, yeah, come to our wedding. He's like, oh, where's my woman, huh?
Where's my wedding?
Where's my wedding? He took everything from me. I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's like, all right, well, let's hang out at, let's go to your place and let's just talk it out. They go to their place.
To Nick's place?
To Nick Cage's place. And he's crazy as usual.
Yep.
And they're just like, whatever, let's talk this out. Like, you know, I really want you to be there. Because it's really important to him. And he's like, all right, like, what's your story?
No, she's doing all of this for this guy that she hardly even knows, too.
Wait, the guy she's
Loretta.
Married?
Who, she doesn't know who he is.
The guy she's married?
Yeah. Who is he?
I don't know. I figured they know. This implied that they're dating a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he just randomly asked. Because he's so old compared to her, too.
Not really. She's up there.
How old is she?
She's like 40-something. She looks 40-something.
Really? Oh, I thought she was like in her mid to early 30s. And I thought he was like in his like mid 40s.
She's at least, yeah, early 30 or early 40s. I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Either way.
But yeah. Yeah. So 10 years difference. It's not that bad.
I guess. Anyway, go ahead. So they're talking about family.
So they're talking about family and she's telling them all the things. They realize they have a lot in common.
Oh yeah.
Very like quickly. The fact that their lover left them unexpectedly when it was not their fault. Things like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're feeling they're connecting on this level. They're connecting on such a level.
They don't have an arm.
Yeah. Then they start drinking some whiskey because they're getting some deep stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then Nick Cage at one point does this famous freak out and he flips the table.
Whoa.
And then he picks her up and he yells, son of a bitch. And then he bangs her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She wants it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She wants it. Of course, they're both a little tipsy.
Yeah.
You know, and then the moon comes out.
When the moon comes out. Hits your eye like...
That's
play?
The very beginning song.
That's also the very end song.
It's a good
and
song.
Midway through the movie, too.
Okay.
I love that song.
It's
I
a
love
good
it.
Song.
Dean Martin.
I love
Dean Martin.
I actually legitimately think he's one of the more entertaining of the kind of older singers, like Frank Sinatra and stuff. He's more romantic.
Dean Martin.
More just one that's like goofy and is like... He's romantic, but he kind of puts like weird stuff in.
I feel like Frank Sinatra is a little overrated, to be honest.
I like Frank Sinatra, but yeah, I mean, everyone thinks he's like top.
He's a talk singer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't really like
Dean Martin
sings, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Magic Moments with Perry Como.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we sound like old men right now.
We really, I was just gonna say that. Our music taste is like from the early ages. from the early ages.
Like 80-year-old men.
As soon as, the record player existed, that's when we started listening.
Dean Martin.
You got to get through all of the decades. You got to go through it chronologically.
I had to stop there. It was so good.
So the movie came out. Yeah. You're seeing all this romantic stuff. Her dad is getting, you know, I don't remember what happens exactly with him. But basically, everyone is getting romantic because of the moon. It's beautiful. Yep. It's super close. Like, it's a really big moon, to be fair.
How long do full moons last?
They last, I think, like maybe a full moon, like, lasts like only one day.
That's what I thought.
But they, you know, but it's mostly full for the next like 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
3 or 4, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, around that one peak time of
that one day
of,
that
of
it's
full moonness.
Right.
But everyone's getting romantically, even the grandpa and like all the, who's that other person that's staying at the parents' house? There's the grandpa, there's the dad and the mom.
Right.
And then there's this like brother. Is that his brother or something?
I don't know.
I don't know who that guy is.
I didn't see anybody else.
They mentioned other people.
Oh, is he bald?
Yeah.
He's like an old man.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. He has a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. What is it? Is it like a boarding house? Where do they live?
No, it's just a house. It's just there's
a big house with all these people.
Jeez, that's crazy. But they're all family. They're Italians.
Are they all family?
Yeah, okay. They're all family. Anyway, but this light or this moon just does all these things, and she's like, "Oh, it's so beautiful. Come here, Nick Cage." He's like, "Oh, I love you.
Yeah,
like, I'm crazy. I'm also insane."
Rita and Raymond. That's their name.
Rita and Raymond. There you go.
Yeah, Raymond. I don't know who he is though. I don't know how he's related to them.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. Uncle. So he is.
He's his brother.
Brother.
That makes sense.
That's right. Okay. It's all come back to me.
After that, she wakes up. She regrets everything because she's obviously being married to.
She's got a fiance.
Yeah. To the person that she just screwed, brother.
I think his name is Johnny.
Johnny. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Nick Cage is a good Johnny.
No, Nick Cage is not Johnny.
Oh.
Johnny's the guy that she's getting married to. Nick Cage's name is Ron. Ronnie.
Oh. Ronnie and Johnny?
I think so.
Sounds like the cutest gay couple around.
I know. Isn't it so cute?
Ronnie and Johnny.
Ronnie and Johnny together.
Together forever. I think that's kind of where it ends. She goes to church confessional.
I remember
and
the
starts,
church.
And
what did she
confessing.
Confess? I missed. I literally, like, when I walked in, she was leaving the confession box.
Okay. Well, she was basically said, like, I swore a couple times. I slept with my fiance's brother, blah, blah, blah. And then she leaves.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. It kind of ended around that time. So.
Okay. So what do you think? This is our famous segment.
Well, I'm not completely done. There's some other side things. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
So that's the main plot. There's also this fam, this like two people that I don't understand who they are, but they get introduced because he's trying to swindle someone. Basically, this kind of older gentleman.
Yeah.
He is talking about pipes. And he's talking to this couple, and he's like, these pipes suck. Mm-hmm. You need to, it's like eight, or it's going to be like $10,000.
Isn't that Loretta's dad?
Is it?
I think so.
No. No, they look so different.
Really?
Maybe not.
Because I know Loretta's dad is a plumber.
Oh, maybe it is then.
Yeah.
But he basically is like, he's kind of not really swindling them. I feel like he kind of is, but he's like, these pipes are going to leak. You need to spend like $8,000, get all your pipes redone or something like that. And I'm like, wow, that sounds like a lot of money. Yeah, but I don't use cheap stuff. I use copper. That's the best pipe there is.
That sounds very much like her dad.
Yeah. So maybe it is their dad. Maybe I was just stupid and was like, who are these characters? I just didn't understand.
You did watch it in three different sittings, four different sittings.
Right.
So yeah, you probably forgot.
Man, this is even worse. let me look at my notes. You know, I'll go on my notes. We'll do the prediction thing now.
Let's do the prediction. What is it called again? The segment? Guess the other half?
Guess the other half.
I don't know. So what do you think happens?
So what I think happens.
Yeah.
Is Loretta stops going with
Ron?
Who's the other one?
John? Johnny?
Her fiance. Breaks up with him.
Right.
Oh, okay. Here's another thing that bothered me
before
I do this.
Do it.
Why, if his mother's dying on her deathbed, why is his brother not with her?
Because remember, they don't, like, he has no, like, he doesn't care, you know?
He doesn't care about anything?
Not really.
I guess that's true.
He's like a bad boy.
Okay.
Like later on, at the ending, he's told about the mom and he goes, oh, well, I don't really care, but you know, like,
oh, okay.
He doesn't really care about
that. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. I think what happens is she gets with Ronnie and they figure out, you know, a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
They move in with a new house together.
Yeah.
It's not as nice as the one they have. The family sells the house.
Wow. Yeah.
And they move into a smaller house. One of the dogs dies from his grandpa, one of them, and he gets really sad.
Yes.
And then they blame it on the meatballs that they're feeding the grandpa was feeding the dogs.
Yeah.
And then he blames it on the cooking of the mom. And then he gets really mad and leaves on his own with his dogs.
The old
and,
man?
Yeah, and creates a dog park, which means not like he goes to a dog park that's made for dogs. He creates a dog colony.
Right.
He just attacks all the stray dogs together and becomes kind of like a dog god.
A dog man. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And that's when the moon goes to a new moon and it disappears and all the dogs come out. It becomes like a reverse werewolf.
Whoa.
That's what I think happens to that guy. Okay. But Loretta and Nick Cage get together and are happy forever after.
Okay. Wow. Well, the movie didn't do any of that.
Any of that?
Almost none of that.
Wow.
You see, you did an ending that I would want to see. This movie ended in the dumbest, most predictable, and easiest way possible.
I predicted most everything.
Almost.
I mean, most everything as in I predicted nothing, so therefore it's not easily predictable.
No. But like you predicted that at least Loretta and What's-His-Face are going to end up together.
Yeah.
You're right. They do.
Okay.
Nick and Loretta.
I did predict them.
You predict one thing, but you went farther. I mean, like you gave it an ending.
Oh.
This movie has no ending. So let me tell you, this movie's main character is not Loretta. It isn't. It's just women in general. All the women in this movie have like a plot, especially near the end of the film. We follow Loretta. We follow Loretta's mom and we follow Loretta's dad near the end of the film.
You're saying her dad's a woman?
Her dad is seeing a woman. Oh. That isn't his wife.
That's why I was confused who she was because he was hanging out with another woman. And yep. I was like, that must not be him. That must be someone else because I don't recognize the woman with him.
Norma, I think her name is.
She got black hair. It's short.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what happens is Nick Cage and Loretta go to the opera together, I think.
Yes. There's a lot of foreshadowing with opera in like the very beginning scene.
Oh, really? How?
Is them some random people unloading an opera truck. That's it.
An opera truck?
Well, it has like opera props.
Oh, okay.
You know, an opera truck. You just go around there and there's some lady singing on the top. She's just singing.
It's like ice cream trucks.
Yeah.
They hand out operas and the music that plays is just opera music.
Yeah. And then they hand out playbooks.
Playbooks.
And the little playbills. And those little spectacles.
Yeah. That you hold up in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
They're not actually attached to your head.
Yeah.
For some reason.
They're like binoculars for strange people.
For old people.
Old people.
Yeah.
Binoculars are too heavy.
Stupid. Either way. That would be kind of awesome to bring binoculars to like an opera house.
I feel like people do that.
You think so?
Yeah. I think like now that the
Have you ever been to an opera?
No.
Would you ever want to?
No.
Never?
I don't like musicals and operas sound like the worst part of musicals, which is the entire thing is singing and you can't understand anything.
That's true.
Like, I don't know what's going on. They're like, look at this plot. I'm like, what's going on? She's just wailing for an hour.
Because, man, dude, there is a... That's not a nice thing to say about
fat people,
by the way. Just saying.
I mean, I appreciate their art. And I'm not trying to offend anyone who is a opera singer, but it's just not for me.
Yeah.
Like, they are obviously... They're, like, top-tier singers. They're the best.
They're top-tier actors, too, I think. Because, like, I'm watching this movie, and there's a scene where Cher, Loretta... By the way, it feels weird calling her Cher. I want to call her Loretta. She became this character for me. You know what I mean?
Maybe it's because, what else have you seen Sharon?
Music videos.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right. She's not really, she becomes the only character she'll ever
be. No, I've seen her in one other thing. Stuck on Me. Stuck on You. The one with
really terrible, like.
What? The Siamese twins one.
Yeah, the Siamese twins
one. Yeah, she's in that movie.
Isn't that a really bad movie?
I liked it. How could it be bad? It's got Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon as a...
It just sounds like a stupid concept.
It's a very silly concept, but I kind of liked it. But Cher was in that movie.
Huh.
Anyway, but she was Cher in that movie. They called her Cher.
She literally played herself, so
I think she played herself, yeah. But anyway, so they go to the opera, and Loretta's watching, and she's like crying, and they're singing in a... You know, and they're talking and like singing, obviously. There's no talking in opera. They're singing in another language. She's like overcome with emotion, and I'm like, that looks really cool.
Was it an Italian opera?
Yeah. Do you think she knows Italian?
Sure, why not?
I don't know. Probably. Either way. But yeah, it was really cool.
How should tell those dogs what to do? Because that guy only speaks to the dogs in Italian.
So what? The dogs only know Italian?
No, because that guy does randomly speak English.
He does speak English.
You know what the dogs did when that moon scene was going on?
What, were they humping?
No. Close enough. But the old man takes them out and is like yelling at them. And he starts, bark at the moon, bark at the moon. And he like demands at them to bark at the moon. And he starts howling and all the dogs start howling. And
I like that old man, by the way. He's cool.
No, he's a great character. He's the best character.
Yeah. There's this great bit at the end where like the ending happens and the old man's crying. And the dad's like, why are you crying? And he goes, I'm confused. And I'm like, I can relate to this.
All right, that's pretty good.
Anyway, so what happens is Loretta and Nick Cage go to the opera. And while they're at the opera, Loretta runs into her father, who has brought this other woman to the opera as well. And they run into each other. And they both are like, you, he's like, you have a fiance. And she's like, you have a wife. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's clear that both of them are, I don't know. Like, it's not even like they're not happy because, like, I think he is happy or something.
I don't know. The people, like, don't express emotions like normal people in this, except Nick Cage, which I don't understand.
Nick Cage is, like, crazy.
Yeah, Nick Cage is crazy. He's the only real one. Everyone else kind of feels, like, I don't know. They feel very shallow.
Kind of. Yeah. Like,
in a weird way. Like, they're not, like, they're obviously characters and they have some depth.
Yeah.
But their emotions they display seems very at face value.
I want to like Loretta because I know she's basically the protagonist of this movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to.
Yeah. Because she's not like unlikable.
No, she isn't unlikable
at
all.
But she's not really like.
She's not anything.
She's not anything special.
Like, I don't know. I mean,
she's
usually.
Not that witty. She just seems like a person who just knows what she wants and then does that.
But see, it's not even that. She doesn't even know what she wants because she's marrying this guy that she doesn't want to marry. Like, that's the weird thing. Like, usually a protagonist has a thing that you like about them and a thing that they need to overcome. And I don't know what she needs to overcome other than the fact that she is.
Maybe her widowness?
So the thing she needs to overcome is to get married. It's a really shallow thing for a female main character to overcome.
I don't know.
But either way. So while this is all happening at the opera, we see Loretta's mom. Loretta's mom is eating all by herself, like in a restaurant.
Okay.
And while she's there, she sees another older gentleman who he gets in a fight with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's like super young. And so she like she storms off.
That's an interesting thing because at the very beginning. When Cher's to-be fiance proposes, there's a scene right beforehand where a younger lady was arguing with her older gentleman friend, and she storms off and says, I never want to see you again, blah, 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 you're horrible. And he's just like, I'm just commenting on da-da-da. And then he's like, take this food away, get me vodka or something. And then her...
This is like exactly the same thing that happens later.
And then her to-be fiance... says a great line.
What does he say?
He says, a man who can't control his woman is funny. Which I don't understand, but I was just like, that's
I was
really
waiting for
up.
Something like really deep and meaningful.
Nope.
He says, that's funny.
It's funny. And then he's like, will you all marry me? He doesn't even give her a ring.
Who?
Like, he didn't even have a ring prepared when he proposed.
Has a ring later on.
Yeah, because he had it on his finger, and then she's like, give me a ring. And he's like, I don't have a ring for you. And it's like, give me a ring.
Now I'm confused.
Yeah.
Like that old
man. It was a really terrible.
Because that happens later on, too, basically.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you about it after this. So Loretta's mom is eating alone at a restaurant.
Okay.
All by herself. Mm-hmm. Sees this thing, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the same old man.
Probably, yeah. He's getting on those young ladies, man. He's got that young lady train.
And so
obviously he's not doing very well, though.
He's not doing very well, and they talk because they're both old, and they're both rather attractive. So they talk together and they get like not cozy, but they talk to each other and we get to understand both of them a bit more. And she asks him, why do men chase women? And he's like, I chase women because I feel like, I don't know. I can't even, he says I need something new in my life. Cause he's a school teacher. He's a lecturer.
Okay.
And he's like, I'm constantly like every day is the same. I'm just doing the same old, lecture that I've done since I've started. And I've lost all the spark that I've had. And so basically chasing younger women is a way for me to like escape that basically.
Hmm.
But once I do get the woman that I'm chasing, they realize that I'm just a windbag and they don't want to be around me anymore. So they both leave the restaurant and they're walking like arm in arm because it's really cold down the street. And this is, remember, Loretta's mom and this random guy. And they're walking down the street. And then this one scene happens where we are introduced to the old man with the dogs, but I don't know who the old man is. At all?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know who he
That's
is.
Excellent.
So he's walking the old, he's walking the dogs. I'm like, what's gonna happen? Like, are they gonna run into the dogs? Like, why? Because they put a lot of emphasis on the fact that they're both walking toward each other.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what's going on. So finally, they run into each other, and then the old man with the dog sees Loretta or Loretta's mom, and Loretta's mom has his arm or has her arm around the guy, and the guy is like, "What's going on?" Like I am, and then the old man with the dog just like shakes his head and says something in Italian and walks off. And the guy that Loretta's mom, what's her name? I don't even remember her name. whatever. She's like, he's like, did you know that man? And she's like, yeah, I did. And then they walk toward.
Oh,
yeah.
That's dark.
Yeah. And then they walk toward her home. And he's like, you're gonna invite me in?
Mm-hmm.
She goes, no. And he goes, oh, is your husband home? She goes, no, I'm pretty sure no one's home. I just don't want to invite you in because I'm married. And he goes, oh, okay. And then that's the end of that scene.
That's a weird thing.
It's a very weird thing.
I don't
thing.
Understand because she's like, I used to know him. And then it's just like, oh, I'm playing that.
No, this is the old man. The one, not her husband. Her husband's dad. The man that speaks Italian. Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
What are you trying to say?
Well, then she said that he used to know her husband's dad, right?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's implying that she does no longer want to be with that family anymore.
Oh, I see what you're implying.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden she's like, no, I'm married.
Yeah, I think she made up her mind when walking there. Because then after that, yeah. And I think, too, I think earlier on it's suggested she thinks that her husband's cheating on her. Like, and she's like, when you're a wife, you can tell, you know, all this stuff. And she's right. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he's at the Met with this random lady. So in the end, they're all around a dinner table. Oh, yeah. And then Nick Cage and Loretta finally say they want to be together. They fall in love with each other. They have sex again.
Cool.
after going to the opera. And she's, you know, she's like, I need to marry your brother, even though she clearly doesn't love him.
Yeah. There's also a weird scene at the beginning where she's like, hey, mom, I'm getting married. And her mom's like, do you love him? And she's like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, good, because if you... Good, because when you do, they drive you crazy because they know they can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That actually comes up later, too.
Because,
Man, there's a lot of callbacks in this movie. That's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. I feel like we watched the same movie. It was mirrored.
Whoa!
Like a moon over a lake that's reflecting.
Whoa!
Where it's the same on the bottom, but it's slightly different because the ripples.
When the moon hits
it's
the lake
and it's in your face, it's all...
That's Moonstruck.
There you go.
So they do it, and she's in love, and she's like, I gotta tell him. And while she is at Nick Cage's apartment having sex with him, Nick Cage's brother flies back into town.
That quickly?
That quickly.
He's like, ooh, I hear that.
Yeah. So...
Does his mom die?
No, she lived.
Oh, okay.
And he says that the reason that she lived is because he told her that he was getting married. And so she got better.
Oh.
So you're like, oh my God, he wants to get married to her so that the mom stays alive. So he arrives at the home and
that's just a weird thing.
It is. So everyone's at the home waiting for him to show up because he says, I'm going to be back tomorrow. I need to talk to Loretta. So everyone's there, and Loretta's like, I gotta tell him. And Nick Cage is like, no, I'll tell him. And then all these people are there. And then Loretta's mom talks to Loretta's dad, and Loretta's mom says, I want you to stop seeing that girl. And Loretta's dad's like, okay, I love you. Whatever. That scene is like over, by the way. Like, that's it. That's the end of their conflict. So that's one conflict down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, on the ground.
That's done. On the ground. Happy birthday to the ground. It's dead. So then we have Loretta. And so finally, the guy that Loretta is going to marry, her fiance, shows up and he says, Loretta, I got to talk to you. I don't want to marry you. And everyone's like, what? And he says, if I marry you, then my mom will die. I can't get married or else my mom will die.
Huh. So like perpetual fiance status?
Oh, no, basically like I don't want to get married. It's basically his idea.
Hmm.
So she's like, she turns on a dime and says, hey, you made a promise to me. We're getting married. And then Nick Cage is like, wait, what's going on? And then he's like, I can't marry you. I can't marry you. Blah, blah, blah. There's this big hubbub. And then she's like, well, you can have this ring back. And she takes the ring off and throws it at him. And then Nick Cage stands up and he goes, can I marry you? And she goes, yeah, sure. And then he's like, I need a ring, bro. And so then he gives the ring that Loretta has been wearing this whole time that was on him to Nick Cage, and Nick Cage gives it to Loretta. And then Loretta's mom says, do you love him, Loretta? And she goes, I love him something awful, Ma. And then the mom goes, that's too bad. And then the movie ends. So here's my qualm. None of the conflicts really resolved themselves. Like, they all resolved themselves. Nobody did anything to solve their problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, they just kind of sat around and it just, like, things happened.
Yeah.
And circumstances changed. I don't know, man. If you think about it, though, that's like life, man.
No, it is not.
You know, you just sit around and things just happen to you.
Yeah, things will just happen to you. All your problems will be solved. You just sit around and wait for somebody to walk through that door.
Yeah, maybe that man will come through, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Introduced. I mean, the characters did do stuff, but they're basically, they weren't trying to do anything, but they just kind of stumbled into everything.
Yeah. Which I don't like.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, she was prepared. She was prepared to say something to him, and I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And then I think the movie was like, well, we gotta twist him out here, so we're going to totally, like, pull the wool over their eyes and say, hey, he didn't want to marry her. You know what I mean? But
yeah, that's a really cheap way to get out of it.
It's a very, like, chick flick romantic comedy movie way of dealing with this situation. You know what I mean?
Where everything gets tied up neatly in a bow.
Neatly in a bow. Everyone's happy in the end. Nobody lost out, you know?
My thing was just the characters just weren't super interesting besides the old man.
Yeah, I love the old man.
The old man's the best.
Everyone
else was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
There was a great scene where the old man was at a funeral or something. I don't know if it was.
Was it his?
Wasn't a funeral. No. Not yet. That's the sequel, Moonstruck 2.
Moonstruck 2.
Strike again.
Strike harder.
He is around this gravestone with all his friends, I guess, all these other old people who were kind of mourning. They weren't really mourning. They were just kind of like, hey, look
at all. It was more like late afternoon.
Yeah, it was like late afternoon where they were just laying. You're stupid. You want me to laugh at that? A terrible joke. They're laying all these flowers out, or they had flowers, and they're like, oh, Frank's got all these flowers. Like, that's cool. And then he just has all his dogs run and just trash all the flowers. Like, he's just standing there, and they're just all, like, hanging out in there on this guy's grave. It's like,
do they pee on it?
No.
I liked him and his dogs. He's my favorite character.
Yeah, he was.
Nick Cage was bizarre as fuck.
Nick Cage was at least interesting.
He was very interesting.
Which, he actually felt like he had emotions, he had reasons. He was acting out like everyone else who just kind of buried it deep down inside of them.
And that's...
Which could be a way, like, I feel like all these things are very intentional. And I feel like this is a very intentional movie, and they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the fact that they accidentally made these characters shallow. I feel like they were intentionally shallow.
Yeah.
But just because it's intentional doesn't mean I liked it.
But here's my problem. I agree with you. I agree. I think that Nick Cage is supposed to be like, you know, the rebel without a cause, even though he has tons of causes. And he's like, you know, he sees that they're shallow, and that's why he doesn't like them. And so my reasoning is like, okay, so he's going to bring out, like, he's going to remove the shallowness from Loretta. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, it made him more shallow.
I feel like the characters didn't really change that much either.
No, not really. Because they had no reason to.
Yeah, there was just kind of like everything just kind of fell. Which, I don't know, I guess that's not a very good plot for a movie.
No, it's change. Rather, that would be like having a puzzle box and then opening it up and the puzzle just falls into place. Like, you didn't do what you
wanted. That'd be cool to see once, but it's not very satisfying.
So, yeah, so basically I'm not going to watch this movie again.
Okay. Because it's just like a puzzle.
Oh, that was cool. Well, now I want to actually put the puzzle. Like, you know, like, because that's the thing. You think when you open the puzzle box, you want the puzzle to be solved because you want to see it together. Just like when you watch a movie, you think you want everyone to win out in the end. You think you want everybody to win and everyone's happy. But that's not what you really want. You want that fight. You want to put the puzzle together.
You have to watch the protagonist have
some kind of conflict, and then see them overcome that conflict.
The only conflict she had was this guy. That's why I thought. I felt like there was going to be a conflict, and I was like, "Wow, this movie's going to pick up like on the second half."
Yeah.
Because I feel like her conflict is now going to be trying to either lose this man or gain the other one's trust back, or something like that. Like, there's going to be conflict, but the way it sounds like it pans out is very lazy,
very coincidental.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just like, oh, well, okay.
Well, that's what life is, man. Some of it's just coincidence, dude.
I guess, yeah, that's
why. We would have never met unless it was coincidence, man.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. Think about it, dude, you know? Just we didn't like, look for each other, man.
We just found each other.
It's just the way it is, man.
We found each other in a hopeless place?
Yeah, that's good.
Is that the lyrics?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Found our love in a something place.
You asked me to remember lyrics?
Yeah.
You asked me to remember something? Look, man, I trained all this time to just remember this part of the movie, and I'm sure I still forgot some parts that I saw.
This is the least amount of notes I've ever written for a movie.
There's
nothing to write about. There's nothing to grab onto.
I feel like we had a pretty good discussion about it, but it's just...
I agree.
But it's more meaty than I Frankenstein.
Well, that's not saying much.
I mean, it's still bottom tier so
See,
far.
I love how we always have to relate it back to I, Frankenstein, because that is the lowest of the low we've probably ever seen.
Yeah.
This, and that's the thing. Like, this movie was really easy to pick up. You know what I mean? Like, it was really easy to, like I immediately knew, okay, so this is what's going on. Like, I figured it out, you know? And I liked it. Like, I liked what was going on, but just the ending really left me wanting something more, you know, some kind of more, some real conflict, some meaty thing to bite into.
That's like Unbreakable. Like, there wasn't, it didn't have that. The ending just didn't nail it. But you know, there's something weird about endings, is that an ending is very personal to someone.
That's
like,
true.
There's a lot of people who will argue with you that they did not like the ending of something, when someone else could be like, no, I think it was perfect the way it was.
Kind of like me and Chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you guys and Chef, man, if you want to talk to Mike, just send him an email to email@theotherhalfpodcast.com
about the movie Chef
and ask him why he didn't like the ending.
And I will write a 4-paragraph essay.
Yeah, he'll write a thesis.
I will write a full thesis on the ending of Chef for you, my friends.
Oh, he will. Maybe you can write one anyway and put it on the site.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why not? Because I'm pretty passionate about it. But either way, I agree with you, because it, obviously when you write a movie, it's coming from a personal place too. And when, you know, you actors are in a movie, when a director grabs a movie, it's very personal. It can be. But I mean, obviously this movie's personal to other people.
Yeah. It's a favorite among people.
Among women.
A lot of people like it. Yeah.
Do you think men like this movie? Do you think men enjoy this film?
Well, as a man standing across from another man. And both of us knew we were very enthralled by this movie.
That's a good point.
I feel that men are not particularly drawn to it. Because maybe it is like a gender thing.
I've talked to another girl the other day and it was like, hey, I'm going to watch Moonstruck.
I talked to another girl the other day. Finally, huh?
Well, I was talking
about
this movie.
I got to get my quota up from 2.
And she said she didn't like it either. So I don't think it's all women who like the movie. But I think that this probably appeals to a certain type of women.
I'm not going to say like all men like Transformers, because obviously that's not true.
That's a good point. But do you think there is a movie that all men like? Like, do you think all men... I think all men like Die Hard. I think there's something integral about that movie that all men can appreciate.
Yeah. Like, I think all men also probably like Indiana Jones.
The first one, at least. Oh, hell yeah. Or the third one.
I'd say the first one, just... I love the third one.
Yeah.
But I'll just say the first one's
probably
very
more
iconic
accessible.
And accessible. Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
I don't know.
Do you think there's any movie that you think all women?
Mean Girls, man. Every girl loves Mean Girls.
Totally.
If you don't like Mean Girls.
Or Pitch Perfect.
Yes.
I've heard a lot. I don't think I've seen one girl who doesn't like Pitch Perfect.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Huh.
Yeah. Maybe we should watch that movie.
Maybe we should.
I've never seen it.
Me either. Yeah.
No, maybe
add to the
list.
the long growing list. You have anything more you want to say about Moonstruck?
Man, there's a lot of moon imagery. It was a very Italian film, dude.
I thought the way it was shot was kind of boring.
Yeah, really? I kind of agree.
Like, it wasn't bad, but it was adequate.
I think it was edited well. I think the editing caused, especially near the end, it caused a lot of tension to build. I think the filming itself was rather uninteresting, but I think the way that it was handled in the editing room, that was done very well.
All the
very
actors
well.
Are pretty solid.
Yeah. Like, except for Nick Cage.
I kind of liked him.
Yeah.
But then again, it's just Nick. I feel like Nick Cage.
He's. I feel like
you
when
just
Nick,
call him Nick Cage.
You know what it is? Is like, you know how Robert, what's his name?
Downey Jr.?
No. The guy who did.
Robert Pattinson.
No. Remember Sin City? Movie Sin City?
Robert Rodriguez.
I was going to say Robert Rodriguez, but I felt for some reason I didn't think that was his name. But yeah, remember how Robert Rodriguez directed Sin City?
Yeah.
He had actors. Sometimes actors were shot separately because they were all shot behind a green screen.
Right.
And then they put them together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Nick Cage is like that. Like, I feel like he's not a part of the scene. Because acting,
above it, man.
Acting is reacting. And I don't feel like he reacts like a normal person will react to a person saying something. And I feel like he's just off doing his
own
thing.
Are you saying Nick Cage doesn't react like a normal person? Did you just say that? That's a revelation to me. I always thought he acted like the most humane person around. I could always relate to his craziness where he's yelling and screaming and flipping over tables and saying, son of a bitch!
He does that a lot in the second half too. Like when he's professing his love to Loretta, he's like, the world is shit and everything is shit and we just need to be shit because that's who we are, man. You know, like that's like he says that to her. Like he's like, we should make mistakes because we're humans and that's what we do. And that wins her over, basically. She's like, you know what? You're right. And then she has sex with him.
Cool.
That's all she needs. And so it's Man. Like, but it's like the way he says and the way he responds is like, because he's like, look, you're getting, and I guess I didn't know that they had sex before, but he's like, you're getting in my bed. I don't want anything for you in my bed right now. And I'm like, whoa, that's creepy. And she falls for it. She totally responds.
That was just different times, man. This was the early 90s.
I guess.
Different times.
This was real. It felt real rapey to me because it's like, she's like, I want to go home. And he took her to his home. And she's like, this isn't my home. She goes, he's like, yeah, but I want you in my bed, like real bad. And it's like, that's so creepy. That is incredibly creepy. You know?
I mean, that's Nick Cage's character, though. Like, he is a creepy character. I don't know why she likes him so much. I guess it's just the fact that
they have a lot of stuff in common.
They have a lot of stuff in common. You know?
See, but and that's the thing. I didn't know that they had done it before, but I guess it was just a thing of like, it just didn't seem like she wanted it until he talked her into it, and then she was okay
yeah.
with it. And that just didn't
it was
seem
just
right
like
to
an act of passion. Like, it was literally like the same day they met, they did it. So I was like,
that's true.
Like,
yeah.
It was just like a crazy thing.
But other than that, I've got nothing really to say about
yeah,
this movie.
I feel like, let me check my notes.
Go ahead. Because, yeah, I want to check mine too.
See if I missed anything.
Like I said, I've got maybe 2 pages, and that's very little for a movie. Especially
yes.
for the end of a movie. You know what I mean?
Let me know if you have anything else, because I got one more thing to say.
No, I think that's it. Go ahead and say what you're thinking.
So there's a scene where she gets back from somewhere, and her mom is cooking what are they called? Toad in the hole. There's like a million different ways to call these.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Pigs in a blanket?
No, not pigs in a blanket. egg in a basket.
Egg in a basket?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know that is?
Not really.
So they had this great bread. It was like French bread or something. And they cut it and they buttered it and they put eggs. And then they cut a hole in it and they put it on the fryer and they put eggs inside of it.
Oh, snap. I've never heard of this.
You never heard of this?
This
oh,
sounds
it's
awesome.
Fantastic.
Sounds really
fantastic.
Good. I don't even like eggs. This sounds really good.
It's so good because it's fried. And you got the butter frying with the eggs and the bread.
Ooh.
And just the imagery of that. And then she put this like these like little kind of red pepper, not peppers, but I feel like they might have been peppers on top of it. And it was the hungriest I've ever been at like 2 in the morning when I was watching this. Oh my goodness. It was so good. There hasn't like, do I think maybe that had better food imagery with Chef? Maybe. But
really?
That just that scene, like for some reason.
What about the food imagery in Labor Day? The pie?
That was a pretty good pie.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good pie.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I must have been
really
craving something. I must have been craving something that was more savory. Because man, I feel like I gotta make you some of that sometime.
I've never had it. We should have it together.
We should have. There's many different ways. My mom almost called it Toad in the Hole.
Toad in the Hole.
Toad in the Hole.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. Or there's like many different ways.
Why is it
ways.
Called Toad in the Hole?
There's a hole and you put a toad in it. And the toad is like
is it eggs?
And eggs. I guess. Why not? Sure.
Why not? So yeah, what would you give this movie?
2 stars.
Jeez, that's low. Yeah. I don't know.
It didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I just sort of watched it.
I just kind of consumed this thing on the screen and just went, eh.
That's a problem when you have a character you can't really relate to, I guess.
Yeah, there's not enough character there, honestly.
Yeah, there's nothing there to grab
onto. Which
is
funny because she felt like they flesh out her backstory, but there's just nothing to be like, yeah, this is a cool character.
Yeah, but I guess women can relate to that. Not that they...
I was like, really?
Okay, I'm going to say it's a Mary Jane thing. It's like there's nothing there. So
a blank
you
slate,
can,
so
you project yourself okay. onto her.
Right.
I think that's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
And this is a thing that happens for any, like even if like a man can project himself onto a blank slate too, like anyone can do that. But I'm like, if you have a woman who's a blank slate that has some kind of self-worth feeling to them, a woman can easily project themselves onto that right. and be like, that's me. I can relate to this. That was a very bad woman impression. That's me. That was a better like Nick Cage impression.
That's me.
That's me. I can relate to that. Yeah, sure. But yeah.
Pistachio?
No. I was going to quote Vampire's Kiss, but my favorite line is not a very, it's a very blue line.
Ah, yes. I know what line you're talking about.
But this movie's okay. I'd probably give it 2 or 3 too. It's so blah that I don't even want to rate it. You know, I just want to leave it alone.
Oh, yeah, just
you know?
Put it in the corner.
It's
put it
a
out
good,
with the moon, you know?
I feel like it's a good date movie, though. This would be a hell of a good date movie.
Really?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you could make out the entire time and not watch it. And
yeah.
Still get it.
I feel like women, I feel like most girls will eat this movie up. Not all. I'm not saying all girls will like this, but I feel like most girls, especially on a first date, would eat this movie up.
I don't know, maybe.
You don't think so?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Not any girl I would want to be with.
Yeah.
So
that's Moonstruck, I guess.
Yep, that sure was a movie.
That was definitely a movie that we watched.
So,
kind of. Yeah.
Like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter. You already said the email.
Yep, which is, if you don't know, The Other Half Podcast. Oh, email at theotherhalfpodcast.com.
And rate us on iTunes.
Yes, please
give
rate us on iTunes.
5 stars, 4 stars.
Tell your friends about the podcast. That's more important.
Yeah, tell everyone about this podcast.
Definitely go to our website, theotherhalfpodcast.com.
And yeah, that'd be awesome, guys.
Share it, like it, do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, fall in love with it.
Fall in love with our website.
Yeah, when our podcast hits your ears, That's amore.
When the podcast hits the ears and it makes you real happy.
And it brings you to tears. That's our podcast.
You know what's a good book, Mike?
What?
Good Night Moon.
I saw a movie that he directed recently, too.
Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski. That's right.
Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski. That guy, like, has had a hard life. He did Chinatown, too. That was a really good movie.
Oh, he did do Chinatown.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's crazy to think about, too, because... So, here's the thing I learned recently. Roman Polanski obviously lived in California when he was, you know, before all that stuff with, you know, the underage girl happened, right?
Right.
And he was living with his wife. That was great.
That's a visual gag that no one will get.
Your face.
I was really scared.
I noticed. Is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay, so... You know what happened to Roman Polanski's wife, right?
Nope.
She was murdered by the Manson family when he wasn't around.
Marilyn Manson?
No, not Charlie Manson.
Oh, okay.
Did you really think Marilyn Manson?
No.
Okay, good. So yeah, the Manson family killed her.
Okay.
And a bunch of other people at a house party in her house, and Roman Polanski wasn't there. And all this happened in California, right? In LA specifically.
Yeah.
And so Roman Polanski was out of town. He came back home, found his wife dead, murdered, and all this shit had happened. And it really fucked him up. So he went back to wherever he's from. And he didn't come back to the States for a really long time until he directed Chinatown, which is all about the corruption that occurs and about murder.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it actually like affected him like enough to like make this movie. And he apparently like, you know, that's why the ending, you know, Chinatown, the ending.
Yeah.
That's why the ending the way it is why it's a sad, somber ending rather than a happy one. Because he, just like Giddies in Chinatown, can't control the world around him. Roman Polanski couldn't control his wife having gotten murdered or anything happening to him. And it's sort of like it's a way of him dealing with the loss of his wife. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a good way of coping is like her, you know, I mean, it's an artistic expression.
Exactly.
I feel like it's hard to cope through like a movie though.
What do you mean?
Because making a movie is such a like, it's like hurting cats.
You're
like,
absolutely right.
Yeah. So it seems really hard to express yourself, you know, visually and emotion, like, you know, through a scene,
yeah,
with someone like all these other people.
Yeah, but that's how you separate the good from the bad directors. Like,
that's true.
Fincher has said that making a movie is like painting, but you aren't holding the paintbrush. Other people are holding the paintbrush, and you have to scream across the room and tell them what to paint what.
That's beautiful.
And I think that's a very good.
That's very good. It's
a very good like version of what it's like to direct a movie. Because it is. Like, you're not doing anything. You're just telling people what to do. And hopefully they know what you're doing. But holy shit, you're right. It's right there. I can see it through the window.